So right there in your bulletin, we've left space for you to put some notes. So as I go throughout my message, I'm going to try to be clear on what the 4 points are that I feel the Lord is saying is what he wants to do in this house, CLCC. But I think it is much larger than that, because I get things from many Christian leaders, Christian ministries, in my email box, on Facebook, and other places, and it's all been confirming. And so I think this is a part of what he wants to do in large. But what we need to do with the word here is we need to write it down, take it home, get it out, and say, Father, I am believing for these 4 things to happen in 2023. I'm praying into these words. I am expecting them, and I am looking for them to happen. That's how you step into a prophetic thing that God is doing. It's nice to say, yeah, that sounds good. I agree with that. But you have to take it further than that. So in the new year, the first thing that I believe he is doing and that I'm believing for, and I hope you're believing for, is new life. Who wants to see new life? And we heard that this morning in those messages about things were barren, but now there's new life. And you'll see, because I'm going to share some of those same verses. And then Pastor Van, who I believe just went back to be on nursery duty, shared with you the other week from 2 Corinthians 5, and that's where the Lord took me. So we're starting where Pastor Van left off. So yay, Pastor Van! All right, 2 Corinthians 5:14. 2 Corinthians 5:14. And I'm going to read it, and then I'll go back and make a few points. So if you want to follow along, 2 Corinthians 5, starting with 14. For the love of Christ controls us, and having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, their outward appearance. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, do we have any folks in Christ here this morning that you've been born again? Then this is talking to you. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed away. Behold, new things. There we go. New things have come. Did we hear that this morning already? Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. See, that's the message we carry. Not only have we been reconciled, but God was reconciling the world to himself through Christ, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us this word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God was making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. See, that's our message. When we go out, we can say to people, I beg you to be reconciled. Christ made a way for you to be reconciled. I've been reconciled. It's good news. It's new life. So we have stepped into new life, but we bring a message of new life. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So verse 17 from a couple different translations, so that the word can settle into us. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Has become a new person. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. You glad we had a fresh start? The old life is gone. A new life has begun. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The old life is gone. A new life emerges. Look at it. So when you and I accept Christ, we're transformed, are we not? We go through a metamorphosis. And that word means a change in the form or nature of a thing or a person into a completely different one. Completely different one. When we're born again, we're not just slightly changed. We are a new creation. We are completely different. So being born again, we were born to a change in our priorities, a change in our motives, a change in our direction. In John 3, one of the Pharisees came to Jesus. You know, Jesus didn't have the best relationship with the Pharisees because he called them out on the fact that they were doing things out of the letter of the law but were completely ignoring relationships. Relationships with God, relationships with other people. And interestingly, this Pharisee Nicodemus came to Jesus, and he came at night because he knew the other Pharisees wouldn't look favorably on him doing this. And he approaches Jesus and he says to him, Rabbi, we know that you came from God as a teacher. Well, most of the Pharisees didn't, but he apparently did. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus says, well, you know, how can that happen? How can that be? How can a person be born again? How can he go back into the womb and be born again? And Jesus said, well, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So we were all born naturally from our mothers, but Jesus is saying you have to have a rebirth spiritually as well. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So do not be dismayed that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it came from. It's the same way with everyone who is born of the Spirit. So the first thing in 2023 is that he wants to bring new life. So do you have any area of your life that you can think of, or your family or your friends or people here at CLCC, where there needs to be new life? Come on, I can start through a list. We need new life, don't we? New life. We need the Spirit to come and do things. Change our priorities, change our motives, in some cases, change our direction. The second one is that I feel in this new year, God wants to do some new things that will bring this new life. Some new things that will bring this new life. And again, you've already heard that this morning. So through worship and through the prophetic, he just set you up so that when he wants us to hear something, he makes sure we understand it and that we hear it, doesn't he? Even if he has to say it two or three times. In Isaiah 42, it says, behold my servant. Well, we know this is speaking about Jesus. First of all, because of the things that Jesus fulfilled in Isaiah 42, but also in Matthew, I believe it's 12. Yes, Matthew 12, they actually refer to these verses and they quote them. Behold my servant, my chosen one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him, and I will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry out or raise his voice, nor make his voice heard in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully bring forth justice. Verse 6. I am the Lord, and I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you. I will appoint you as a covenant to the people and a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, to those who dwell in darkness from prison. I am the Lord, that's my name, and I do not give my glory to another, nor my praise to idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare what? New things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. So Jesus came and he fulfilled the scripture. He proclaimed a whole new covenant. He announced the end of the former covenant based on obeying the law. And I believe that God has some new things that he plans to do in 2023. In Hebrews, we hear that we're now part of, and we now have, a better hope, a better covenant, one where Jesus is our high priest, our mediator. It is a better covenant with better promises. If we go back to Isaiah 42, verse 10, it says, sing to the Lord a new song. New songs are about our new life with our new Savior and our better covenant and our better promises. Verse 16 says, I will lead the blind by a way they do not know. In paths they do not know, I will guide them. Did we hear about paths today? I will make darkness into light for them. Come on. Places that seem dark, unclear, cloudy, you don't know where to go or how to go. I will make those paths light. He will dispel darkness. So in 2023, Father God wants to guide us into new paths and open our eyes to see more clearly. Lead us into new paths and open our eyes to see more clearly. So the last time I spoke, I shared with you the story about a blind man, and it was the one who yelled out, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. Well, there's a story of another blind person, and this time it happened a little differently. You know, I like things to happen the same time and the same way, because then I will know what's going to happen and how it's going to happen and when it's going to happen. But Jesus just disregards my desire for it to happen the same way every time, because he never does it the same way. And we look at how Jesus healed even the same sickness and disease, how he healed the blind. Okay, the way he's going to do it this time, he did not do it before or after, only this one time. So this time, the man doesn't yell out. I don't even think the man sees Jesus. And Jesus and his disciples are walking down the road, and there's a blind man sitting there beside the road begging. And his disciples and he stop, and his disciples say, hey, Jesus, that blind man over there, is he blind because of his sin or because of his parents' sin? Now, you might find that a pretty ridiculous question. But in many other cultures, if you have a physical disability or handicap, they believe it's because God made you that way. That something in your family line caused God to make you that way. And I know there's an organization called Cure International, and they build hospitals, and they operate, they provide free operations to kids that are born with cleft palates and bent and twisted limbs. And often the village leaders will say to the mothers and fathers, don't take the kids there because God wanted them that way. And so that's why it's natural for the disciples to say, well, Jesus, you know, who was it that sinned that caused that man to be born blind? And Jesus said, it wasn't him or his parents. It's to show the glory of God. So, again, we don't even know that this blind man knew who Jesus was or anybody made him aware. This is completely different. Jesus stopped and walked over to the blind man. Now, remember in most of these other instances, Jesus will say, what do you want me to do for you? And this time he didn't ask. This time he bent down, spit on the dirt path, come on, made some mud in the dirt with his spit, scooped it up, and put it on the blind man's eyes. I have no idea why he did that. Didn't do it before. Didn't do it after. I know various healing evangelists like Richie Lewis. As far as I know, he's never spit and made mud and put it in somebody's eye. But for some reason, Jesus knew that that's what this man needed to receive his miracle. So Jesus puts the mud on the man's eyes. And you know, it doesn't tell us he did, but if that was me, I'm like, what are you doing and why are you doing it? Okay, have you ever asked Jesus that? What are you doing and why are you doing it? I have. And Jesus said to him, go and wash in the pool. Now, he probably had a cane or something, and he's been blind since birth, so he's used to getting around, okay? And so he goes over, and he washes, bends down, washes in the pool, opens his eyes, the mud washed off, and he can now see. Come on! Now, Jesus and his disciples had gone on into the village, and this man comes back from the pool, and he enters the village. And people over here are saying, hey, isn't that Jerome that used to, I made up the name, just so you don't think I'm saying my Bible says that. Isn't that Jerome that used to sit and beg? Oh, it can't be. And somebody else will say, you know what, I think that is Jerome. And they say, no, it can't be. He's born blind. And then somebody says, yeah, that's him. So they go over and they say, Jerome, what happened? And he said, well, this man, whose name I believe was Jesus, put mud in my eye and told me to go wash, and now I can see. And they're like, what? Well, we've got to check this out with the religious leaders. So they take him into the synagogue, into the religious leaders, and the religious leaders say to him, so what happened? And he tells them again, this man came up, he put mud in my eye, I went to the pool, I washed, and now I can see. And they said, so, first of all, we can tell you this. The person who did that's a sinner because he didn't obey the law. And today is Saturday, it's Sabbath. Number one, healing is work, and you're not allowed to work on the Sabbath. Number two, he told you to walk to the pool, and you're not allowed to walk to the pool on the Sabbath. So he's a sinner. So they say, oh, you know what? This is a hoax. We don't really think this happened. Let's go get his mother and father. So they go, and they get his mother and father, and they bring the mother and father into the synagogue. And I just realized I completely walked away from Facebook. Sorry, Facebook friends. Hopefully you heard that. So they bring in his parents, and they say, okay, who is that over there? You know, like they do in a courtroom. Do you know that person? That's our son. And you realize he can see now. Yep. And was he blind? He was born blind. And they say to the parents, well, explain this to us. The parents are afraid of what's going to happen if they say what their son had already told them happened. So they said, he's an adult, ask him. So they go back to him again. Come on. And they say to this guy, "What happened?" And he goes, "Oh, you want to know what happened because you want to become a disciple of Jesus." And they go, "Oh, you might be a disciple of Jesus, but we're a disciple of Moses. We know Moses. We don't know Jesus." And he goes, "Isn't that odd that this person healed somebody born blind, and that's never happened before, and yet you don't know him?" Come on. And so they said, "We're throwing you out of the synagogue. Don't come back." Yeah. So guess who he meets when he goes out of the synagogue? All right. See, now you want to know the end of the story. We are in John chapter 9. All of you that were digging in your concordances to find out if Pastor Steve was making up the story or not. So in John 9, first of all, I wanted to point out in verse 5 when Jesus was talking to his disciples about this person who was born blind, he says, "I am the light of the world." I want you to remember that for a minute from now. I am the light of the world. So in verse 35 now, he's been thrown out of the synagogue. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And finding him, he says, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" In other words, "Do you believe in me? Do you believe who I am?" And he said, "Well, who is that, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And he said, Jesus said, "You've seen him, and now you're talking to him." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped. So it's a new year with new life, and new life. Number two was new things. Number three is new insight. I believe that the Lord wants to give us some new revelation and some new understanding, some new insight in 2023. New insight, new understanding. Things that we didn't quite understand before. What he's like, what he wants to do, and how he does things. All right, you ready to look at number four with me? We're in Isaiah 43. You know, the written word is full of so many promises that we can apply to our life and our situations. And we've heard some awesome promises already this morning that we can take and we can apply to our lives and our situations. Let me start with verse 1 and 2. "But now thus says the Lord your Creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Come on. Oh, you don't seem excited about that. You belong to him. You are his. He's called you by name. That means he's responsible, isn't he? "So when you pass through the waters." Now, it doesn't say you'll never pass through the waters. I think we heard that this morning, didn't we? "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you." What a difference that makes than when you go through the waters yourself. Karen, you've gone through some waters this past year, haven't you? You and your family. And Jack and Nancy and Frank and Karen, and I could go on. We've had some people going through the waters. "And through the rivers, they will not overflow you." See, he's saying the water might get pretty deep. And you may think, you know, I can't go much further. I can't go much deeper. Well, he's saying it won't go above. It will not overflow you. "When you walk through the fire." Oh, yeah, I want to volunteer to walk through fire, right? Who wants to have the heat turned up? Who wants to walk through fiery situations? Yeah, okay. "You will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you." Come on, do we have some excellent promises in here that we can stand on? All right. So this is number four. Let's go to verse 18. And remember what we've already heard. We've heard new life, new things, and new insight. New life, new things, and new insight. Verse 18. Do not call to mind the former things. Come on. Are we getting this? Or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something. Come on now. I think you can all read that word with me. Behold, I will do something. Oh, much better, much better. Now I will spring, now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? See, he doesn't want to do new things and us not be aware of them. He wants to speak to us and say, hey, I'm doing some new things. Get ready. Look for them. Expect them. Believe for them. What is one of the new things he's going to do? I love this. And again, you've heard it this morning as everybody else has taken turns preaching my message. I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. Roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. So what that means is we've had situations where we've been living where it's been pretty dry, pretty barren, no fruit. No vegetation. Isn't that what it's like when it's dry and barren? But God is doing new things. He said he's going to make roads where there were none. He's going to make a way where there didn't seem to be a way. Come on. How many of you want him to make a way where you couldn't make a way, where other people couldn't make a way, maybe doctors couldn't make a way, but he's promising, I will make a roadway. I will make a way where there is no way. I will make rivers where it was barren and dry. So what happens when you irrigate someplace that's barren and dry? They say you can see this dramatically in a desert. When it finally does rain there, all of a sudden all this vegetation springs up that you had no idea was there. It was all just right under the ground, ready to spring up. So he's going to bring forth life and fruitfulness where it had previously been barren and dry. So does anybody else have situations in your life that have seemed barren and dry? You've continued on, but there was very little life there, and it just seemed dry. You know how thirsty you get when it's dry. So Isaiah 44:3, I will pour out water on the thirsty land. Pour out. Come on, he always does more than enough. He doesn't just barely sprinkle a little water on dry land. I will pour out water on the thirsty land, streams on the dry land. I will pour out my spirit. Come on. On your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. Yeah. Yeah. Who wants to see that? Come on. I will pour out streams where it is parched and dry, water where the land is thirsty, and blessing on your descendants. In John 7, Jesus stood up in the midst of the feast. They were all gathered there for the Feast of the Tabernacles, Sukkot. And he yelled out. Now just think about that. He goes into a crowd where some people were opposed to him. There were some people for him. There were some people who had no idea who he was. And he said, if anyone is thirsty, if anyone is thirsty, come on, he's calling that out today. Let him come and keep coming. That's the tense of the word. Come and keep coming to me and keep drinking. Keep coming, keep drinking. So that means we don't go to Jesus when we're parched and dry and say, you know, Jesus, I just need a sip. Just a sip. I just want a little sip. Oh, Okay, now I feel better. No, he said, keep coming, keep drinking. Keep coming, keep drinking. He who believes in me from his innermost being will be dribbles. No, Marty, it doesn't say dribbles. Will flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water, come on, folks, can't flow out of us if they're not flowing in. So if Jesus said, I'm going to pour out my spirit on you, I'm going to make you have an abundance of water in a dry and thirsty and barren land, then we want to keep coming and keep drinking so that we have a river to pour out. It says in John 7, he was speaking of the Spirit. All right, so let's review a minute. In 2023, this is a new year with, number one, God doing new things. Number two, bringing new life. So new things, new life. Number three, new insights, understandings, revelations. And number four, new streams from the Holy Spirit. Number four, new streams from the Holy Spirit. So, Stacy, if you could get ready. So, as Pastor Kurt said earlier, we want to allow time for a response. And I feel like there's two songs that we're supposed to listen to, but you understand there's a difference between just sitting and listening to a song being played or allowing God to encounter you and meet you in that song. That's what I want you to have happen. I want you to come into his presence and say, I'm believing for these things. Let them start right now today. Right now today. I'm expecting you to do them throughout the year, but let's start them today. And so if for you to step into that this morning, it means come up to the altar, come up to the altar. If it means kneel at your seat, kneel at your seat. Whatever it is for you to step into these today. All right, folks, so I want you to just spend some time with him, allow him to spend some time with you, allow him to touch your heart and start doing some of these new things.
Something has to break, tear down every lie, set the wrong thing right. 'Cause when you have your way, something has to break.